Let us open scripture now. Two places. First of all, we read the first book of Samuel, chapter 15, verses 1 through 22. 1 Samuel 15, verses 1 through 22. And then, secondly, we'll open the New Testament, the Gospel of according to Mark, chapter 12, verses 28 through 34. Mark 12, 28 through 34. But we start the first reading, the Old Testament, first book of Samuel, chapter 15, verse 1. And there we read the word of God. And we listen with reverence to his words, his all-powerful words. Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord has sent me to anoint thee, to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I remember that what Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both men and women, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For ye showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Paul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he has set him up a place, and is gone about, and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul. And Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandments of the Lord. And Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleeding of the sheep in mine ears? And the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners of the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have gone the way which the Lord sent me. I have brought Agag the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and ox, and the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Hast the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Then we will open scripture in the New Testament, Mark, Gospel according to Mark chapter 12, and we start reading in verse 28. Mark 12, verse 28 onward. And there we read, And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, Which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any question. Thus far, the word of God for us this morning on Thanksgiving's Day. Dear congregation, the theme for the sermon this Thanksgiving morning is obedience better than Thanksgiving's offerings. Or in other words, the best Thanksgiving is obedience. So what is your offering today? Is it indeed obedience to the Lord? And what is that obedience? Well, we'll hear that. Three thoughts this morning. First of all, thanksgiving. Some thoughts about what it is to give thanks. Second, and then we'll mainly turn to that story in 1 Samuel, obedience. And what is it to be obedient to the Lord? And then the third point of attention, faith. And we'll hear about that connection between faith, obedience, and thanksgiving. So the theme is obedience better than thanksgiving's offerings. Three thoughts: thanksgiving, obedience, and faith. And of course, all this, as we read in 1 Samuel 15, verse 22, I'll read that text verse again with you. And Samuel said, Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold! Ever see Hamilton? It's good you're here and you have a day of thanksgiving and you bring your offerings, but to obey is better than sacrifice. And to hearken, to listen to the voice of the Lord, that's better than all the fat of the rams you're offering today. That's what the Lord's looking for. Obedience. That you listen to his voice, not only here, but when you go from here and you travel to this earthly desert. Well, first point of attention, thanksgiving. Well, I don't have to tell you, we mentioned it already several times. Today is a day of thanksgiving. Where do we find, by the way, the origin of a day of thanksgiving? Any idea? Well, when you look up in Wikipedia, always helpful to look there. There's lots of knowledge there. You will find that there were Thanksgiving days since the Middle Ages. In other words, in the Roman Catholic Church. These were Thanksgiving days on special occasions. By example, after the harvest, sometimes, not always, or after a war, after some special events, occasional days of thanksgiving. Well, the Church of the Reformation adopted this custom, but very soon after the Reformation, they came up with a fixed annual day of thanksgiving, a yearly day of thanksgiving. In the Netherlands, and almost all of you came from the Netherlands, at least many people originally, well, since the 19th century, they changed the name of the Thanksgiving Day, because before that time it was mainly a Thanksgiving Day for crops, and then they changed it to a Thanksgiving Day for crops and labor. Well, that's understandable. And at that time, the 19th century, a special day of prayer was added. So there were 2 days, the days of Thanksgiving and a prayer day. I don't know if you know, but here in Canada, the Parliament declared on January 31st, 1957, the second Monday in October, to be, and now I quote, a day of general thanksgiving to Almighty God for the bountiful harvest with which Canada has been blessed, to be observed on the second Monday in October. That's the Parliament of Canada in 1957. And since then, you have this annual Thanksgiving Day. Well, but I think I don't tell you anything new if I tell you that thanksgiving is far older than 1957, or the 19th century, or the Reformation, or even the Middle Ages. It is very biblical. In the Bible, there are special days of thanksgiving. Well, I look to the young people here. Please tell me, not loud, but soft, what are the 3 special days of thanksgiving in the Old Testament and in the New Testament among the Jews? I'll give you some time. I'll give you a hint. There were 3 Thanksgiving days every year. I'll give you another hint. There were also called pilgrims' feasts. And the people came from all over Israel and they traveled to Jerusalem as pilgrims. And they traveled to the temple to bring thanks to the Lord. Well, the first one is what we call in English Passover, but you find in Hebrew, Pesach. That's the first one, Pesach. And it was a thanksgiving for the beginning of the harvest. And you probably know that the first harvest is always barley, indeed. Well, it was a thanksgiving for the harvest of barley. But remarkable, it was not only a Thanksgiving day for the first harvest, it was also a Thanksgiving day, and you probably know that, for the deliverance of the house of bondage in Egypt. And you probably know about that Passover lamb and that blood smeared on the doorpost, and that the angel of death passed by, and the 10 wonders or miracles there in Egypt. And now Israel left Egypt through the Red Sea, and armies of Egypt died there, they perished in the sea. What a remarkable deliverance. Well, at Pesach or Passover, they celebrated and they gave thanks. That Lord, the Lord made them a nation. And that the Lord showed his continual love in the harvest, especially the beginning of the harvest. Well, there's the second one. What is it called? The Feast of Weeks. In Hebrew, Shavuot. Shavua is week. Shavuot is weeks. The Feast of Weeks. Well, and on that feast, the first fruits of wheat and the first fruits of the fruit harvest are brought in again, and giving thanks to the Lord for the fruits on the fields. But also it was a remembrance, as with Pesach, a remembrance of the great deeds of the Lord. And at Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks, it was about the giving of the law on the Mount Sinai. That's a special occasion. That the Lord made a covenant with his people and told his people, I am your father, but please be obedient to this law. Well, that's the second Thanksgiving day. And there is a third Thanksgiving day, the Feast of Tabernacles, in Hebrew called Sukkot. Sukkah is a tent or a booth. Sukkot is tents or a booth. And then the last harvest, again a fruit harvest, is brought in. It is the end of the harvest. For the third time, the Lord is thanked for the harvest. We just have one day a year. They had 3 days, no, 3 weeks of thanksgiving. Isn't that amazing? 3 weeks of thanksgiving. Well, and that last feast, that Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot, they also thank the Lord how he led them through the desert and brought them in the land of milk and honey, Canaan. And therefore they lived for a week in tents. And these tents had an open roof. There were some branches and leaves on top of that tent. And through these branches and leaves, they looked to the open sky. And they remembered God led us through the desert. And it's what he still does. He leads us through the desert of our life. Well, 3 weeks of thanksgiving. But actually, we should give to the Lord thanks. Give thanks to the Lord every day, isn't it? There's so much reason to thank him every day. Thanksgiving begins here. Today is a kind of exercise in thanksgiving. And we remind each other, well, there's so much reason to give thanks to the Lord day by day by day. Let us travel from now on in that attitude of thanksgiving and give thanks to the Lord every day. That's why we have this one special day. Well, I think you will agree with me that that practice of Thanksgiving Day is fully biblical. And there is always that double Thanksgiving. It's also with our Thanksgiving Day, also that double Thanksgiving. At one hand is what God does in nature through the crops and labor. And at the other hand, it is about what God did to save his
people. It is about his love. We give indeed thanks for the crops and the fruits. We give thanks for the labor, whatever we were able to do for our income, indeed. But far more, on Thanksgiving, we thank him for that very precious gift of Jesus Christ, the Savior. That's what Thanksgiving is for. And of course, we give him thanks that there is this beautiful building. It's just amazing, this building. But what makes this building most beautiful is the word here. The word which is opened here. And this Bible never closes. It's always open. What a reason to give thanks to the Lord that this Bible is open here. And that you sit around that Bible at the feet of the Lord. Not my feet, but the feet of the Lord. To hear through my mouth, that's right. But to hear his sweet voice. To get educated, instructed, comforted, rebuked, whatever you need. What a reason to give thanks that the Lord revealed himself. And that he is present in and through his word and his spirit here in your midst. Well, then indeed, every Sunday at least is a day of thanksgiving, but every day of life is a day of thanksgiving. Well, but I don't tell you anything new, that giving thanks isn't always easy. It isn't always easy. As we look back over the past period, there were many concerns, isn't it? For many of us, there were personal concerns, sicknesses, losses, depression, financial concerns. And we can go on and go on and go on. There were other concerns. Take by example that small virus. You can't see it. What a trouble it cost. And what a misery it brought worldwide. Or think about the climate changes. Whatever we think about it, they are there. And there are many consequences. Just think about the droughts worldwide. And the floodings. So one thing is sure, climate is changing. Whatever the cause is, it is changing. And it brings disruptions worldwide. Or what do you think about the tensions in society here in Canada? Due to the pressure to vaccinate? Or the ethical issues? The liberal agenda of President Trudeau and the government here? There's so much more. There are so many concerns. But do you agree with me? And I hope so. That despite all these concerns and afflictions and worries and sorrows, there is still reason to give thanks to the Lord. There's one condition, that you came to know the Lord. I know you will certainly not understand me this morning if you don't know the Lord as your Savior. Then rightfully, your heart should be filled with worries. There is no bright future for you and no bright future for the world. But if you know the Lord, you know it's just a short affliction. It's just short. And I think you will agree with me, if you know the Lord, that he even uses these afflictions. My family and I, we had a very difficult time. In the corona time, it was indeed a great time of affliction. But I often tell my wife, it was maybe the best time in my life. I repented and repented. I saw so many sins. And I came to know my Savior more and more. To be filled with his Spirit. Do you agree with me that times of affliction, when you look back, are often the best times? Because the Lord is all for you, and you can't without him any day. Then be comforted, because the life of a Christian is a life in afflictions. But yet, even in the midst of afflictions, we give thanks to the Lord, even if we don't feel like that. Psalm 42, read it at home. David doesn't have any feeling to give thanks to the Lord. But he takes his shoulder and he tells himself, look up to heaven. Give thanks to the Lord for his salvation. His work is sure and certain. There's always reason to give thanks to the Lord. Paul writes in Romans 8, verse 28, we know that all things, beloved, all things work together for good to them that love God. Oh, do you love God? Please, if you don't love God, please, repent here now and flee to him, because you're on the way to that eternal destruction, to hell. Please repent and flee to the Lord, because his goodness and his love is overflowing and he's seeking you. He's knocking at your door. Come to me. I will be your Savior. There is always reason to give thanks to the Lord indeed. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 18. In everything, even in the midst of mine afflictions, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's the will of Christ to give thanks. Let's not complain. Let's just give thanks. Right? Well, in the scripture we have read, there is also a day of thanksgiving. We have read it in 1 Samuel 15. Israel had been fighting under the leadership of King Saul against the people of the Amalekites. It was a battle commissioned by the Lord. The Lord commanded King Saul, fight the Amalekites. Why? Because the Amalekites were arch enemies of the people of Israel. You probably remember that story. You can find it in Exodus 17, in Numbers, and even in Deuteronomy. Three times in the Word of God, how the Amalekites attacked the people of Israel when they traveled through the desert. But it was especially the way they attacked them, in the rear. And in the rear, you always find the weak people, the elderly people, the disabled people. And that's where Amalek attacked the Israelites, in the rear. And on top of it, the people of Israel were tired at that time, collectively tired. But let's not forget, the people of God, then and now, are like the apple of his eye. And where the people of the Lord are attacked, they attack the Lord. The enemies of the people of the Lord are the enemies of the Lord, and the other way around. The enemies of the Lord are the enemies of the people of God. And therefore, the Lord takes it very seriously, this attack on his people, and he commands at that time in the desert, through the mouth of Moses, that when the people of Israel shall have come into Canaan, they will attack and defeat Amalek and expel them. A total destruction. Let's not forget, God is a holy God. Oh, beloved ones, God can't bear sin. He can't just stand it. But God is a patient God, and he gave the Amalekites 400 years. There's 400 years between the time they attacked Israel there in the desert and that Saul here is defeating them. 400 years to repent and to come to faith and to fear the Lord, to fear the God of Israel. But they didn't use the time. They used the time to live in the world, this great Babylon. They didn't repent. And now comes the time, and the Lord tells King Saul, defeat them utterly. I gave them time to repent. They didn't use it. Now it's the time for my judgment. Oh, dearly beloved, once will come the time of our judgment. We don't know when it comes. It may be tonight. We just don't know. Please prepare yourself that the day of judgment is your day of final salvation. And not a day of judgment, but a day of deliverance from all your enemies. That you are finally set free and meet your Savior Jesus Christ in that heavenly Jerusalem. Well, but King Saul, indeed, he is commissioned to attack the Amalekites, and he destroys them. He defeats them devastatingly. And the Lord tells them, spare none of the people. Spare none of their possessions. Everything you need to destroy. Everything. Well, and Saul, he fights, and the people of Israel, they fight, by the way, as we should fight against our enemies. But that's just a side thought. Well, he fights against enemies and he wins. And there is a great victory. Never forget, when the Lord commands, he comes with his other hand to enable you. So he commands you to obey, but with his other hand he enables you to obey. That's why we come with empty hands. That's faith, right? I'll come back on that later. That's why we come with empty hands. Lord, whatever thou command, I know that thou wilt give. We have such a wonderful God, and he does so here. He commands, destroy them. And he enables the people of Israel to do it. What a victory. And let's never forget, the Lord promises victory to all his people. No prosperity gospel, of course not. But a spiritual victory. He will give that certainly. Blessings in Christ. Certainly he will give that. Well, and then there is this great day of thanksgiving. Here we are at Thanksgiving. Here in 1 Samuel 15. After that they destroyed the Amalekites utterly, totally. There is a great day of thanksgiving. You read it both in verse 15 and 21. 15. They have brought them for the Amalekites. The people of Israel spare the best of the sheep, the best of the oxen, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. It is just a great day of thanksgiving. And they give the best of the spoils, the former possessions of the Amalekites, the best of them. And they bring thanks, they give it to the Lord. And you read it again in verse 21. The people took of the spoil, sheep, oxen, the chief, the best things, which should have, and they bring sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. A great day of thanksgiving. Well, before I move on, just one question. I'm not going to answer that question. You can do it yourself. What do you give today? What do you think is the best thing you can give? The people of Israel thought, well, we will give the best of the spoil. So when you woke up this morning, or maybe yesterday evening, and you decided, well, I'm going to bring thanks to the Lord, what was in your mind? Just a question. What do you like to bring to the Lord on this Thanksgiving day? Let's move on. Let's move on and listen a little bit more to that story. Maybe it is a surprise in your eyes. I'm not sure, but we read here. There is this great day of Thanksgiving, and they give the best of the spoil. The best, really. They didn't give the lesser, but the better to the Lord. And then we read in verse 22, the Lord has no delight in your offerings and sacrifices. Maybe you brought today $1,000, I don't know. $2,000? $10,000? I don't know. And maybe, I don't know, but it could be that the Lord says, well, keep that money. Just keep it. I have no delight in your money. I have no delight in it. What's the reason that the Lord has no delight in the sacrifices here and maybe in the money you offered? What could be the reason? You know, and it's so seriously for the Lord that he even speaks to Samuel, verse 11, and says, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be a king. That office bearer there, he offers me today $10,000, but the pastor here, but it repenteth me that I have made him office bearer. He looks for something else in the first place. What is it? Well, the Lord is clear about it. We have read it, and probably you know it already because this story is quite well known. Verse 22. Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? He wants us to obey him. The best Thanksgiving day is the day you obey him. And then he accepts your offering. Of course. With gladness of heart. Of course. But it all starts with obeying the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, to hearken than the fat of rams. And the problem with Saul and the people of Israel, but especially with Saul as leader. Oh, brothers, we have a high responsibility. Because the people just followed Saul. But Saul is rebuked. We have a higher responsibility as office bearer. And he rebukes Saul because he disobeys the Lord. Saul, I want your obedience and not your thanksgiving. Oh, and we read it over and over in the Bible. Please don't make the mistake to think, well, this is only in 1 Samuel 15. No, it isn't. It is the same message over and over again. Just read it at home. You have a whole day for Thanksgiving, so maybe you could read at home Isaiah 1. Isaiah 1. There you'll read the same things. Isaiah 1, verse 13. Your new moons, your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. Ever see Hamilton, your Thanksgiving day? I hate it. They are a trouble for me. I am weary to bury them. Why? There was disobedience and sin with the people of Israel. And then there is this severe judgment. The Lord rejects Saul as king. What was Saul's disobedience in? What was his disobedience? Well, we have heard the story. The command was to utterly, totally destroy the Amalekites. But Saul didn't. No. He saved the best. And the Lord says, no, I asked you to destroy them utterly. All enemies of the Lord will once be destroyed utterly. What a reason to flee to the Lord on Thanksgiving Day. He is still that God of love. There is still time before he destroys our unconverted friends in the midst of us. There is still time to repent. But one day it is over. There was disobedience behind the thank offering here. We have read Mark 12, right? And we read there in verse 33 that the scribe says, to love the Lord with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, with all the strengths, to love his neighbor as himself, that is more than the whole burnt offering and sacrifice. To obey the Lord means to love him. You only begin to obey him, right? Am I right? When you love him. When you love someone, you obey someone. Children, when you love your parents, you obey them. Am I right? But when there is no love, you will also disobey them. It all starts with love. Therefore, the great command is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. It all starts there, with all thy heart. That central room here where we take our decisions, that's our heart. With all thy soul, thy personality, with all thy mind, thy reasoning and thy thinking, with all thy strengths, thy labor. That's the first commandment. And the second, like this, is thou shalt love thy neighbor. By the way, it's not wit and wits neighbor. Also that enemy. Also the one you don't like. Just love your enemy as yourself. There's none other commandment greater than this. To obey the Lord, start with loving. And there's every reason to love the Lord. In his love, he created this world. This world, the existence of this world, is a token of his love. Nature around it, that beautiful nature, it is a token of his love. It's even more remarkable. He loves sinners with unfathomable love. And he loves them from eternity. He knew in eternity, my creatures will sin. And yet, he loves them. He seeks out sinners in love. Not righteous people, but sinners. In his one-sided love, he gave his son. Incomprehensible love. Parents, would you give one of your children to save an enemy of you? Would you do that? Well, God did. He gave his only beloved son to save wretched people like us. Unfathomable love. That love, that he gave his life for a forgiveness of all our sins, that he was raised for our righteousness, that he reigns us in heaven, that he intercedes for us. He makes sinners alive. He regenerates them. He renews us through his Spirit day by day. What a love it is. And whoever came to know that love, Word and Spirit, will obey the Lord. At least we'll have a hunger and thirst to obey the Lord. And there we will show his image. And we will show good works, as we read in Lord's Day 32, Heidelberg Catechism. Nice to read. Well, true gratitude and thankfulness for that one-sided love of the Lord is showed by obedience in good works. Again, that question. What do you intend or did you intend to give today? What is your offering today? Is it love? Lord, I bring you today my love. Because you loved me the whole past year. Every month. Every week, every day, every hour. I bring you this offering, and therefore I also bring you, but it starts there. And Lord, from now on, I promise you, I will obey you. You know my weakness, but please help me. It is the longing of my heart to obey thee for thy one-sided love. Well, let's move on to the third and last point. Who of us is not guilty? Who of you, Psalm 24, can climb the mountain of the Lord? Who of you has a pure heart that full obedience to the Lord. Who of you shows only good works and fruits in life? None of us. None of us can match up to what we read in Psalm 24. Yes, there is one. There's one. Pure of heart. He ascended the mountain of the Lord after he came in that lion's den. In that miry pit of our sins, where his blood was shed and he gave his life. And he climbed all the way the mountain of the Lord in total and full obedience. He always loved his heavenly Father, and he did his will. He always prayed, not only three times a day, but whole nights. He was always in prayer. He was always meditating upon the word of his Father. Oh, he is the one who climbed the mountain of the Lord. We read in Psalter 109 the following words. Psalm 40. The offering on the altar burned, our altar, gives no delight to thee, because there is always shortage. The hearing ear, the willing heart, thou givest me. And now we hear Jesus Christ. Then, O my God, I come to thy purpose to fulfill. Thy law is written in my heart. 'Tis joy to do thy will. This is Jesus Christ. God looks upon our sacrifices and they fall short. And he says, here is my Son. And in him I have my joy. Blessed are we if we are found in him. He knew that triune God, all our sacrifices, they fall short. Because there is never that full obedience, never that full love. We always fall short at this side of the grave. And therefore, even our best works are an abomination in the eyes of the Lord. They are. And therefore the Lord says, away with all these days of thanksgiving. I'm looking for your heart. That you come in repentance and faith to Jesus Christ. Again, what is the best offering on Thanksgiving Day? That you flee to Jesus Christ in repentance with empty hands. And grab him. Faith. That's the best. Because you saw his one-sided love. And therefore, you love him. And there comes that longing to obey him. And to bring forth good fruits. And the Lord will work it out in your life. What sacrifice then can please the Lord on Thanksgiving Day? Repentance. Repentance, really. Really. Some people told me, well, not some, many people, told me in the past, Pastor, don't speak that much about sin and repentance. We passed that station. We never passed that station. Till our last day, we fall short. Till our last day, we come in repentance to the Lord. Psalm 51, verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. Are there broken spirits here? The Lord has a delight in your broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. He maybe despises our money, our offerings, but he will never despise your broken heart. Lord, here I am. You know what the best offer is? It doesn't stop there. That's to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because in him is all your need. John 6, verse 40. This is the will. Here comes what real obedience is, right? And on Thanksgiving Day, it is about obeying. Well, what is it to obey the Lord? Now it comes. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Lord and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. To obey the Lord is to flee in repentance in him and to accept him as your Savior, to believe in him. That's the real thanksgiving. That's the will of the Lord. That's to obey him. That's why we also read in Romans 16, verse 26, God has revealed himself in scriptures and in Jesus. And now it comes. So God has revealed himself in scriptures and in Jesus according to the commandment of the everlasting God. What is that commandment? How should we obey? Now it comes. Make known to all nations, also to F.R.C. Hamilton, the obedience of faith. The Lord has a delight when you come to him today in repentance and faith. And then he has a delight in your sacrifices. Well, let us give thanks to the Lord for the Lord Jesus. What a precious gift it is. Do you agree with me? There's no better gift than the Lord Jesus. He gave himself, his full life, his whole person, everything he gave to save you. What a reason to give him thanks. Oh, maybe this your Thanksgiving day. Ever see Hamilton? Maybe you didn't expect this word on a Thanksgiving day, but it was bound on my heart to preach this word here. The Lord has a delight in your repentance and fleeing to the Lord Jesus. Who is he? Oh, dear young people, parents, elderly people, who is Christ for you? Amen.